Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Now, say what you will about the rigors of Minnesota winters, the cold and the darkness. But one thing it does do is that it helps us to number our days. The promise of cold and snow in a weather forecast causes lots of people to scurry around, making sure they took in their garden hoses and turned off the outside water faucet. Bring in patio furniture if you have that. And if you don't have a home or anybody, it prompts all of us to take advantage of the nice days while they're still around. I doubt that any one of us would call a 40-degree day a nice day if it occurred in July. But if it happens at this time of year, in the middle of a cold snap, we're like, maybe I should wear my shorts on this day. And those of you who can, or anybody who just has a great desire, you might find a way to escape to a warmer climate at this time of year, or visit a warmer climate. I see Cheryl nodding her head. She's saying, Jamaica, please bring me back to Jamaica. And I have family who is in Arizona and Florida, so I know what that can be like. Seasons teach us to number our days wisely. The birds at my bird feeder are not complacent about the rigors of winter. I can tell that weather's about to change when I see the bird feeder kind of abuzz with more and more activity. The mouse that set up residence in my house, although if I'm honest, it's probably the mice that set up residence in my house and are chewing through the bristles of my broom in the pantry, are not complacent about winter. They would rather spend the winter in my house, not outside. Winter's arrival comes unexpectedly and swiftly and thoroughly. Once it's here, it settles in. Now, we can mark time by meteorological seasons, by winter, spring, and summer and fall. But as Joshua preached for us last Sunday, God also gave us seasons and feasts and fasts to mark time. These feasts and fasts of the Israelites were ways for them to remember God's mighty works, to honor God and be formed as his people by those stories and by his act, through celebration and discipline and hospitality. And when God rejected their feasts, as he did through the prophet Amos, it was not the feast itself that he despised, but the impiety of the people in their feast. Because even the wicked kept these feasts, when instead they should have been repentant. They sang when they should have been silent. They feasted while the poor and the widow went hungry. They held feasts in God's name, even though in the rest of their lives they dishonored God with their lives. They were like the people described in today's reading from Zephaniah, who claimed to be people of God, but then said of him in their hearts, "He will not do good, nor will he do ill." Though they were outwardly pious in their hearts, they were essentially atheists. The theme of numbering our days wisely is a common thread in all of today's reading. In the words of the psalmist, numbering our days rightly is the heart of wisdom. God is eternal, but we are like grass that grows up in the morning, only to fade in the evening. We are not masters of our own end. We don't know what the length of our days are. Psalmist couldn't have imagined how life expectancy might have extended, but the psalmist was wise in saying that at the best our years might be 70 or 80. But the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. 1,000 years is as a day to him. As John Chrysostom preached, we are not masters of our end, so then let us be masters of mercy. We are not masters of our end, so then let us be masters of mercy. People who love justice and practice righteousness while we have life and breath. So that just as practically as we might prepare for a change of season, we are to live in anticipation of God's judgment on the day of the Lord. Today's readings instruct us that numbering our days is not merely a countdown, but a posture of expectation. Now, we can count down the days that are left before we come to Thanksgiving or Christmas, but none of us knows when the day of the Lord will be or when we will face it. No one knows the length of their own life, and so in wisdom, every day is lived in anticipation of the day of the Lord. Because Thanksgiving and Christmas will come and go, they are fixed days on the calendar. But the season of expectation for the day of the Lord is ongoing till it arrives. We are not masters of our end, so then let us be masters of mercy. People who live with joy and generosity and hope. Not people who wish away time as though we are crossing days off the calendar, but people who prepare for what is to come with repentance, righteousness, and joyful preparation. In Zephaniah, the theme of numbering our days is especially clear through that exhortation to penitence and repentance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So woe to those who are complacent. Woe to those who say in their heart, "The Lord will neither do good nor ill." For judgment comes unexpectedly, swiftly, and thoroughly for the complacent. The word that Zephaniah uses to describe complacency, or that we translate as complacency, was one that was used in descriptions of wine that had been left to sit too long on its dregs. Dregs being kind of the solid matter that's left when you press grapes, so stems and peels. After a while, the dead yeast that settles on the bottom, and you want to take it off of the dregs if it's going to be pure and not contaminated. So complacency was a description of wine that had been left stagnant to sit on those dregs. The complacent are like wine that sit on that decaying matter. Think of it as wine with floaties in it, or if you've had wine with too much grit, it's wine that's been sitting on its dregs too long. This stagnant wine is an image of debauchery, a people steeping in impurity. On the day of the Lord, God will seek out those in secret places and punish their disobedience. The complacent cannot escape judgment. They cannot buy their way out. They can no longer use their power or their influence to their advantage. And just like those in the days of Noah who ate and drank before the great flood came, so will judgment come swiftly upon those who dwell in darkness. Therefore, the complacent are to repent and be silent for the Lord, for the day the Lord is near. In his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul exhorts the righteous to be alert, sober, and resolute. Jesus' followers are not people who have an excuse. They should not be caught unaware by the day of the Lord. Consistent with Zephaniah's description of judgment upon those who dwell in darkness, and Jesus' teachings in Matthew 24, Paul writes that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. However, unlike the wicked whose homes will be plundered at night, Jesus' followers are people of the daytime, children of light, children of the day, people who know how to number their days with wisdom, loving justice and practicing righteousness. Jesus' followers are people whose lives are secured by faith and love, and whose minds are protected by the hope of salvation. Again, in echoes of the judgment of the flood and Jesus' teaching about the day of the Lord, the ignorant will proclaim peace and security until it's suddenly gone as the labor pains of childbirth come so suddenly. Though others sleep in false security, Jesus' followers are to be alert. Though others are drunk, both in impurity and in actual excess, Jesus' followers are to remain sober. We must not walk in darkness, drunkenness, or ignorance, but walk in the light. Now, obviously, Paul isn't commanding sleeplessness, so that if you're an insomniac, you feel like, well, I am practicing righteousness. But he is calling for spiritual sobriety and attentiveness and obedience so that we may obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we might live with him. Finally, in Matthew, Jesus told a parable of numbering our days wisely. In it, a master entrusts his property to his servants while he goes on a journey. From the largest to the smallest amount, each servant was entrusted with great wealth. They had different amounts, each according to their own ability, but it's helpful for context to know that one talent was still worth 17 years' wages. So all three of them had been entrusted with great wealth. The emphasis of the parable is that what they have is a treasure that they're entrusted with. It's of great value, or all of them. Now, the two good and faithful servants acted immediately after their master left, and they doubled the wealth, while the one with the least responsibility buried what he had in the ground. The one with five talents gained five more. The one with two talents gained two more. Though the one with the least responsibility preserved the master's wealth by burying it, he did nothing to increase it, not even entrusting it to bankers so that it might gain interest. He even justified his actions in burying it by saying that it was the master's fault, because he believed that the master was a hard man, and so he hid it out of fear. The parable of the talents is a lesson in the consequences of numbering our days with wisdom versus numbering them in the life of complacency. The two faithful servants demonstrate a wise posture of expectation for the day of the Lord. Though the master was gone a long time, the servants didn't know that he would be gone a long time. Instead, they acted immediately, not knowing when their master would return. Though the amounts they earned were of a big, great difference, the one with five had 10, and the one with two only had 4, they were still given equal reward and blessing by their master. The amounts that they earned were less important than the fact that they were faithful with what they had been entrusted. They both regarded their master's wealth as a treasure to be multiplied and not merely something to be preserved. And the wicked and the slothful servant shows the consequences of complacency. His actions embody those words, "The Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill." He had such low regard for his master's treasure that he would sooner bury it than even give it to a banker, let alone invest it himself. He preserved it, but he showed his master no honor through his stewardship. The parable of the talents is about something more than just being industrious, having a good Protestant work ethic. It speaks to the fact that our lives are a treasure from God. And as Paul taught the Thessalonians, Jesus Christ died for us that we might live for him. We are bought by his blood. God is not a hard man who destined us for wrath, but who destined us to receive salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, trusting that he is the master of our end, we may seek to multiply the treasure that he has entrusted us with by being masters of mercy, numbering our days wisely, following Jesus' example. Now, each and every day is an opportunity to number our days wisely, but the coming Thanksgiving holiday is a nice, discreet time for you to think about how you might number those days wisely. How might you take advantage of that, opportunities to practice? There will be feasts and chances to show or receive hospitality from others. There may be time spent with people who, for good or ill, lots of water has kind of gone under the bridge. You have a lot of history with them, and you'll have chances to show mercy to them through encouragement or patience or even forgiveness. There may even be opportunities to open a door of reconciliation with someone through your own repentance. There will be many opportunities to exercise faithful presence with friends or family. Therefore, be intentionally engaged with them, with the people around you, exercising moderation in your eating and drinking, keeping alert to the opportunities God puts before you, being aware of diversions, perhaps at this time, especially TV, football, the dog show that might be on, or maybe your phones if you just feel uncomfortable and you go find a quiet corner and do that instead of dealing with the people or addressing the people that are challenging. So look out for those ways that you might pass time rather than being faithfully present to others. Number the days of this holiday wisely that the Lord may bear fruit in and through you. Number your days that you may get a heart of wisdom. For this is not merely the holiday season, but that season of expectation for the day of the Lord. An expectation of his coming, live with joy, generosity, and hope. Not as people who bury God's gifts in complacency, but people who prepare for the day of the Lord with repentance, righteousness, and joyful preparation. Receive each gift, receive each day as a gift that you may offer back to God in thanksgiving. That when the day of the Lord comes, he will welcome you saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into my joy." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.